Good News Ministries of GNM.org. It's the Catholic place for growing your faith. Good News Ministries will provide you with faith-building reflections, virtual retreats, prayer resources, and lots more. All of it is free. Visit GNM.org today. Introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Delighted to be back in the studio for a show after being on the road, so to speak, Thursday and Friday. It's really nice to be back here. But man, we had a lot of fun this weekend at the Catholic Answers Conference. It was the best attended, best conference we've ever put on. People were, the folks who came were just great, but it was exhausting. So I slept last night and I'm ready to go. And we have a wonderful guest for you this hour. So all is well here in Catholic Answers land. Elizabeth Kelly is our guest. You might know her as Liz Kelly. She's spiritual director and the author of 7 books. You maybe have read her monthly column, Your Heart, His Home, or you visit her at lizk.org. The book that we are here to discuss today, or that will be helpful to us today, Jesus Approaches, What Contemporary Women Can Learn About Healing, Freedom, and Joy from the Women of the New Testament. It's a practical guide to healing and to immersive prayer. And it won the Independent Press's Distinguished Favorite Award at the Catholic Press Association's Award for, and the Catholic Press Association's Award for Popular Biblical Studies the year it came out in 2018. I guess I'm more tireder than I thought. Liz Kelly, how are you?
I'm really well, thank you.
Women in the New Testament is our topic this hour. If you'd like to call and get in on this conversation, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. It is kind of a male-heavy collection of books, however.
Pardon?
The New Testament. It's kind of a male-heavy collection of books.
Oh, male-heavy. I wasn't sure what you were talking about. Yes, it is. It is. I'm pro-masculinity.
Okay, all right.
Men are some of my favorite people, so that's okay.
who are your other favorite people? I guess that the data on women then that we get in the New Testament is less than that on men, and it does seem that there are certain roles, particularly like the role of apostle, that are reserved to men. So what do you make of all that, and what do you make of the way women are treated in the New Testament?
Well, first I'd argue, all of Christ's teaching applies to man, woman, and child.
I got you. Okay.
I don't think you can say, the Beatitudes are just for men. And we have clear evidence that women traveled with Jesus as when he entered his public ministry. He relied on them for resources. They helped to care for him. This is straight out of Scripture. It's not anything we're intuiting. That in and of itself, that he would essentially say, I cannot do my ministry without your support, that he would surrender himself to that care, I think tells us a great deal about how he entrusts women to be part of salvation history. And, as apostles, you've heard the Samaritan woman at the well called, one of the first missionaries, one of the first apostles, after she's has this tremendous encounter with Christ who reveals herself and himself to her. What does she do? She runs right back into town and she tells everybody, I met this person that completely changed my life. So, you know, I don't think it's really fair to say that women are not called to share the gospel story. We certainly are. Absolutely are. And there are many women who did, you know, not just the Samaritan woman at the well.
Right. 888-318-7884 is our number. Liz Kelly is our guest. Her book is Jesus Approaches, What Contemporary Women Can Learn About Healing, Freedom, and Joy from the Women of the New Testament. So what do you make of the kind of, I imagine you hear it all the time. You'll get the media report on, you know, the Catholic faith or something, and it makes a great deal of the fact that women are not in the priestly role. Do your eyes roll, or do you have some sympathy for that, or where do you come down?
No, I certainly have sympathy for it. I remember I had the great privilege to go to a Vatican Congress on the 20th anniversary of Mulieris Dignitatum. And scholars from around the world came to present their research on this, really, what is the dignity and vocation of women in the church 20 years after the anniversary of that that apostolic letter that Pope John Paul wrote in 1988, I think. And it was very interesting because that was a question that came up right away for discussion. And there was a lot of bickering. No, we're here to talk about women's ordination. No, that's not on the table. Da, da, da. You know, there was a lot of bickering. And this bishop, who had to be about 182 years old from Canada, sort of marched up to the front and took the microphone. And he said, "We can never demonize this question or the people who ask it, because young people are going to continue to ask this question, and we need robust language around this question in order to answer it compellingly, convincingly." And I just thought the wisdom in that, it just completely settled the whole room. And in the course I teach in Catholic Studies, Woman and Man, of course, one of the things we talk about is reservation of the priesthood to men. Is there an equal role available to women, exclusively to women? And I think that we have some very interesting theological discussion on that answer. But no, I never roll my eyes at that, because I think that's a really legitimate question. And you may not have the vocabulary, you may not have been taught why we do that. The church doesn't do anything of its own authority. Its authority is granted to it through Jesus. So if we want to know what to do, we have to look at him first and see, what did he do? The church doesn't reserve ordination to women because of something that they made up on their own. You know, this was a sacrament that was given and revealed to them. And so we have to do our best to try to understand all the nuances of that. You know, I think that in a way, you know, it's just evidence that Christ had exquisite, perfect knowledge of the nature of men and women and their complementarity. And we can trust that. We can trust that. But it's never wrong to ask the question.
Well, what about the broader modern critique of women in the New Testament, that if you use those women as a model, these women are pious and subservient and quiet, and do you just see what I mean? The critique that this is not a good image of a woman.
Right. Well, I disagree with that in a lot of ways. Quiet and subservient. I don't know about that. For example, I think of Anna, who, as widow, goes to the temple, spends her life there in prayer and praise. There's an extraordinary strength in her. There's an extraordinary act of courage in Mary at the Annunciation. She, by the way, made that decision, made her assent. It was not forced upon her by some controlling male god. She was presented an opportunity and given the opportunity to accept or reject it. I also think too, you know, Jesus was very keen to hang out with those who needed the divine physician. So he did. He hung out with prostitutes and other women of ill repute, mm-hmm. adulterers and adulteresses and so on and so forth. But it's very interesting because after they have a healing experience with him, they come into full dignity. I don't think there's anything about quiet subservience about that. I think there's a right ordering into their proper dignity and knowing who they are, knowing their value before the Lord. And that ultimately frees you and actually gives you authority in your life. It does not quash authority. It gives you authority, his authority. In relation, everything is related to him. I don't know. Does that help answer?
It does indeed. And it gives me, because that is what you see. It's the meeting of Jesus, the interaction with Jesus, and then the taking up of discipleship that gives dignity to so many characters, men and women, throughout the sure. New Testament. I had not thought of that, but that's like, think of Mary Magdalene, I suppose, that the great dignity she has after her encounter with Jesus, even though she is possessed of seven demons before her right. encounter with him.
Right. I just was at a spectacular conference last week given by Father John Horn on the exercises. You know, that's what I'm trained in for spiritual direction. And he was talking about healing and one of the themes that kind of kept coming up is that all of prayer, all that we desire in our worship and all of that is to know who we are in relationship to Christ. That is the ultimately freeing a piece of information. That's the most empowering piece of information. It's not just a piece of information, you know, discovering that relationship, my relationship to Christ and who I am in his eyes is always restorative. It's always going to give me greater dignity. It's never going to amount in quashing my personhood. It's going to allow me to fulfill my personhood.
Liz Kelly is our guest. We're talking about women in the New Testament. If you have questions about the role of women in the New Testament or about just what we've just been talking about, the role of Jesus healing in the lives of women in the New Testament, men as well, the ministerial roles given to women in the New Testament. If you have questions about the role of any of the women named Mary, you're welcome to call. 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-318-7884. Liz Kelly is the author of seven books, among them Jesus Approaches, What Contemporary Women Can Learn About Healing, Freedom, and Joy from the Women of the New Testament. We'll be right back with your calls for Liz right after this.
Catholic Answers Live. The only thing missing from today's broadcast is you. Call now with your question.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
I want to talk to you about the importance of bringing the news to you every day. And we do that two ways on Catholic Connection. Firstly, we give you a newscast that I write and give to you to keep you up to date on what's happening in the world, in the church. And then we also do interviews daily to help you understand everything from a truly Catholic perspective.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, tomorrow morning, 9 Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
Elizabeth Kelly is our guest. You can find her at lizk.org. We're talking about women in the New Testament. 888-318-7884 is our number. Are you feel ready to go to calls?
Sure.
All right. We'll start with John in Cape Girardeau, Missouri. Hang on there, John. Let me get to the right button. John, your question for Elizabeth Kelly.
Hello. Yes, I find the topic of women in the Bible to be a very interesting one. Now, in Ephesians 5, 22, verse 24, it talks about, I know you talked about this a little bit earlier, but women being subservient to men in marriage. And I was just wondering, how do you relate this into modern terms as a woman yourself?
That's a really good question. It was also one of the center talking points at this Congress that I was in 2008. And JP2 in particular, John Paul II, was very clear to draw out of that verse and others that this service to one another is reciprocal. That it's not just about women taking orders from men, but that we, you know, men are to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave up their lives, give up their lives for them. So, that the language he uses to address men and to address women, that he doesn't say the exact same thing to each of them, I don't think we really need to worry about that. I think it's very clear that men are to love their wives. Well, what does that mean? It means to serve them, protect them, to know them, to know the desires of their heart, to honor those desires. And we can see it too in the way that Christ interacts with the women that come into encounter with him, that, you know, he's not ever saying, you know, woman, go get me a donut and a cup of coffee, and you men come over here and I'll teach you. It's the exact opposite. Mary sat at his feet listening while he was teaching. He presumed that they were teachable and worth teaching. it was never just men only in the audience. And I think you need to take, it's the danger of taking one line of scripture out and judging all of scripture based on one line. And we know Old Testament, New Testament, they come together. We have to take all of God's word as a whole. And it's one of those verses that's just kind of tricky, and we got to place it in a particular kind of context and see it, I think, in the whole way that Jesus was offering it to us. Does that help?
What I see throughout, you know, the church history, I'm a bit of an amateur theologian myself. You see women opening their homes up to create a safe space for the churches of that time, you know? Mm-hmm. So women served a purpose at time. We also know that the first people Christ appeared to after his death on his resurrection were women. Mm-hmm. So there is some great significance and purpose for both sides, actually.
Right. That's a really good moment to bring up, because if Jesus was interested in power, when he resurrected, when he rose from the dead, he would have appeared to the kings of the world, the powerful of the world, the influencers, he would have gone into the money makers. He would have gone to people who had worldly influence, but he does not do that. He appears first and relies upon the witness of the populace or the demographic that would have the least voice in that cultural context. It even talks about in the Old Testament a woman's witness being less valuable than a man's. So if you go to court with somebody, you don't want woman witnesses, you want male witnesses. So, I mean, that would have very much been the context. So we have to pay attention to that Jesus entrusts this moment to women. He does exactly the opposite of what we would imagine a king who was interested in power would do. Well, he's not interested in power. He's interested in the authority, his father's authority. And that he entrusts this moment to women is just a spectacular thing that we should pray with very seriously and ask God to open up that scripture to us so that we can connect with the full import of the entrustment of that moment with to women. That's a great point to bring up. Thank you.
Thank you, John. 888-318-7884 is our number. 888-318-7884. We're talking about women in the New Testament with Liz Kelly, the author of Jesus Approaches, What Contemporary Women Can Learn About Healing, Freedom, and Joy from the Women of the New Testament. Again, the number 888-318-7884. I don't know if I'm overly sensitive to these things. I have not watched it or read it, but you have such things as The Handmaid's Tale now that suggest... Mm. Do you know what I'm talking about? That's the one where the...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. They just dress funny. Mm-hmm. So I'm not... But it seems to be like a kind of idea that Christianity itself is bad for women because Christianity is theocratic. That's what I'm gathering from it, from someone, again, mm-hmm. who has not heard it or read it. What do you make of the modern critiques of Christianity that take that bent, that this is a deal for men, it's not a deal for women?
Well, it's painful. Uh-huh. And that certainly hasn't been my experience. And, you know, I think that it points to a radical misunderstanding of the difference between worldly power and divine authority. My brother's a priest, and I watched him move from, you know, he worked in kind of Wall Street money market management. I don't even know what he did. He did something with money. And I watched him give up, you know, his fancy car and all of his clothes and all of his belongings. And becoming a priest was not empowering him. It was not giving giving him power, but it does give him the opportunity but it does give him authority. It gives him Christ's authority. His ordination gives him a certain kind of authority with Christ. So, you know, I think that the world has been very maimed to imagine that worldly power and divine authority are somehow the same thing. And divine authority is the servant of servants. Jesus washes the feet of his disciples and he says, I have to do this, or you cannot be my disciple. I have to wash your feet, or you cannot be my disciple. So, you know, I think we need to pay attention to that. Oh, sorry. Can you hear my dog barking?
Yes, that's awesome.
Sorry.
Does he disagree with your point? Or
no, there's probably somebody outside the house that he disagrees with. And my husband's not here. I'm sorry. Let me just shut the door. Hang on.
No, that's fine. 888-318-7884 is our number. Elizabeth Kelly is our guest. Elizabeth is the author of seven different books, but the one we are kind of focusing on today, Jesus Approaches, What Contemporary Women Can Learn About Healing, Freedom, and Joy from the Women of the New Testament. And as a matter of fact, that is our topic this hour, women in the New Testament. If you'd like to get in on that conversation, the lines are beginning to fill up, but you are welcome to call 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. As I said, Liz Kelly is our guest, and I want you to also take advantage of the fact that we are continuing up through tonight with a lot of the Bible stuff we have. If you haven't signed up for Jimmy Akin's free video course on the Bible, don't wait. It's still available at Catholic.com right now. Click on the free video course, and near the bottom of the page, it'll say it's free. Enroll today. And you should do that. Enroll today. Back to the phones. Up next, we have Maria in Birmingham, Alabama, listening on Sirius XM satellite radio channel 130. That's EWTN on Sirius XM satellite radio channel 130. Maria, your question for Liz Kelly.
Sure. I just wanted to know what your take was on Mary Magdalene when she sees Jesus at the resurrection or before he resurrects and tells, you know, she's holding on to him because she can't believe that she sees the Lord. And then he tells her, quit holding on to me. Is that a sort of scolding to her?
It might be. I don't know exactly. So much ink has been spilled on this exact question. And the difficulty of it is that we don't fully understand. We may not even have enough language to address Jesus's glorified body. We know, for example, his body still carried the marks of his wounds, and yet he was resurrected from the dead. So, I mean, this is a very complex theological question. I don't think it was scolding. What he was saying is, you know, I have not yet ascended to the Father. To me, that indicates that he's saying my mission isn't complete yet. My mission isn't complete yet. He would then ascend, and that would be the completion of his mission. So, no, I don't think it was a scolding. I don't know. So, have you read some of the commentaries on this? Maybe you have a better answer.
No, I don't think I do. I mean, the thing is, we shouldn't be shocked if Jesus does scold people. But I agree with you. It doesn't have that implication, and I think he may be. I mean, she is weeping, and he may be worried about her that she's clinging to him now, and he's going to leave again, and that's what he means when he says, "I haven't yet ascended. I'm not. This is a brief visit." Mary, and you're going to have to make it once I have ascended. Maria, do any of those satisfy you, those answers?
Yes, and I've even thought, and you can tell me what you think about this, Ms. Kelly, but I've even thought that he loves her so much, as he loves all of us, that he tells her, don't hold on to me because I have so much, I will be with you in heaven, and I have so much more that you don't even understand.
We'll have to get Liz to give her response after the break. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with more of Women in the New Testament on Catholic Answers Live with Liz Kelly right after this.
Catholic Answers Live.
If you're a Catholic who sometimes gets intimidated by the Bible, Jimmy Akin's The Bible is a Catholic Book will help you better understand and take pride in this gift that God gave the world through the church. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Catholics are the original Bible Christians. Order your copy of The Bible is a Catholic Book today by calling 844-239-4952, by visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
Everybody's favorite Catholic outer space delivery pilots return for their greatest adventure yet in the brand new graphic novel Weapons of War. Fresh from saving the solar system in The Truth is Out There and saving the timeline of salvation history in The Big Picture, Brendan and Irk land in a magnificent domed city on Mars for what is supposed to be a simple shuttle job. But soon they find themselves caught up in a sinister assault on faith and freedom. Will Mars be lost to the enemy? Brendan and Irk's only hope for the flight is in the power of God's sacramental gifts. A totally new kind of Catholic resource for apologetics and evangelization, The Truth is Out There series combines the visual excitement and quirky humor of graphic novels with solid popular philosophy and theology. The result is a series in which everyone from teens to adults can find accessible answers to questions about God, the soul, true happiness, and much more. Order your copy of Weapons of War today by calling 844-239-4952, by visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Whom or what are you praying for?
Call and share with us on Monday's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Now back to more of Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live, Monday edition. We always have good guests on Monday, and we did it again today. Liz Kelly is our guest. Our number 888-318-7884. And our topic is women in the New Testament. You are welcome to get in on that conversation, 888-318-7884. When we left, we were talking with Maria in Birmingham, Alabama, about Christ telling Mary not to cling to him after he rose from the dead, but when he had not yet ascended. Maria's last point was, could he have been pointing to that he wanted her to share in the joy with him in heaven?
I think that's a really good point. I think we often settle for less than even what Jesus has. And I feel like that's a moment of him saying, there's so much more coming. You know, there's so much more coming. And of course, you know, he, I don't think that he's scolding her as much as he's giving her information.
Maria, I hope that that's helpful to you. It does. It reminds me of sometimes the language people will say he's scolding his own mother with some of his language with Mary. But he speaks really directly to the people who are close to him. He's not.
Well, and even him calling her woman, I mean, that was actually a cultural sign of affection. It would be the same as if I went to my girlfriend and said, girl, you know, I mean, it's about the same, you know, it's,
do
it
you
sounds
say that?
Terrible. I do, girl. I do, to the modern ear, it sounds funky, but, you know, we have to place it in a proper context.
Maria, thank you very, very much for that call. Again, we're talking about women in the New Testament. You're welcome to call 888-318-7884. Liddell is next in Saskatchewan, which I think is in Canada, but there might be another Saskatchewan I don't know about. Liddell, your question for Liz Kelly.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. It is in Canada.
I got it right, finally.
My question is, I've kind of been living in a day and age when it seems like the quiet, more cooperative type of women who are just more naturally drawn to the home and domestic life, et cetera, they're just not... It just, I don't know. It's like, I mean, it's like, it's not an ideal anymore at all. Like, it's just, it's like we're not really on the scale. We're not, it's like we don't exist. We're totally ignored. It's like, wow. You know, in the 30 or 40 years since I got married, when I got, you know, when I had my first child, it was going on 40 years ago here, you know, and I was in the home with my kids and stuff. It was a wonderful thing. I had lots of support. And now it's like we're just totally ignored. Like it's like we don't exist. You know, people who are just women in the home. It's like we don't. It's like we count for nothing. You know, if we're in a home where we're supposed to be having a home business or something like that, you know, and we just don't exist. It's weird.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
No, I get that, and there are a number of really good books on this particular point. I'm thinking of Colleen Carroll Campbell. She talks about how when she left her career to homeschool, that people would literally like turn the other way when they saw her coming, as though, you know, suddenly she was now some sort of idiot or unaccomplished or something. But I'll tell you what, Liddell, it's not just women at home. All of our culture is really being sold and formed to believe that an assertive personality, an extroverted personality, is necessary to make it in our culture. There are a number of books on this topic, including Susan Cain's book. It's called Quiet, something about... the power of introverts in a world that can't stop talking. So any kind of hiddenness, any sort of, I don't want to have a big Facebook page. I don't want to be on Instagram. I don't, you know, I don't want any of those sorts of things. You know, people will tell you, you're just not going to sell any books unless you do all that sort of stuff. So it's not just that. You can take some solace that this idea has worked its way into every aspect of our life. And it concerns me because I think it's really the introverts who teach us how to pray. Extroverts do incredible things for the world, and I thank God for them. But I think the introverts do some really important things for us as well. And I think that there are more organizations like Well-Read Mom and Blessed Is She, and I'm just trying to think of some of the other organizations that really support that vocation. Women who choose to leave careers or never really launch a career, but decide that they're going to stay home and raise their children, and that is going to be the most important work of their life. So there are resources out there to support you in a right-minded thinking about that choice. And no, you're certainly not a bad woman because you're more quiet and in the home. Even JP2 said something to the effect of, you know, it's contemplative women in the monasteries hidden from all of public life who make the world go round. You know, their prayers make the world go round. So it is very countercultural. I know the energy it takes to maintain that. You know, I was forced into getting my first iPhone like a few months ago. That I basically got a notice that they were euthanizing the kind of phone that I had. They weren't going to serve it anymore. So I had to get this iPhone. It's just another example of, there are a million choices that we make each day to push back against a culture, that wants to take us out of our identity. You know, wants us to fight against the natural gifts that we have. And I think it's going to pass. I don't think it can be sustained. This notion of everybody has to have an MBA and be very outgoing and all of that sort of thing in order to succeed, because people get burned out. So I don't think it can be sustained. I'm hoping that we're seeing a renewal of that vocation as something very sacred.
Liddell, how does that sit with you?
Very, very good. Yes, it's yeah. Because I find that you can't get close to God unless you've got some silence and some quiet. Some, you know, you've got to gel down. You're even physically,
absolutely,
all the chemically in your, you know, the chemicals in your body and all that, they have to equalize and gel down before you can be relaxed enough to have any kind of proper perspective and clarity of thought.
Mm-hmm. Amen, sister. You're preaching it. I don't know what gel down means. I think that must be a Canadian thing, but I'm going to guess. I'm going to guess calm down or something like that. But I just don't speak Canadian. Sorry, Nick. Nick gave me a look on that one. Liddell, thank you very much for that very insightful and helpful call. Liz Kelly is our guest. Our topic is women in the New Testament. Liz Kelly's book is Jesus Approach. Well, among her books is Jesus Approaches, What Contemporary Women Can Learn About Healing, Freedom, and Joy from the Women of the New Testament. Why do you say Jesus Approaches? There's something about that wording that is very, I find it very kind of exciting, those two words together. But where did you pick those two words from? Is that?
I actually didn't pick it. Well, I kind of did. I had a different title altogether. And my publisher came back with Approaching Jesus.
Uh-huh.
And then the subtitle. And I said, no. It can't be Approaching Jesus. He's always coming to us. Yeah. He's always already on his way to me, even when I think I've turned to go to him. So that's, it grew out of conversations around that kind of theological construct. It's like, even before I start my prayer, Jesus is already there waiting for me.
Mary in Kansas City, you are up next. Your question for Liz Kelly, please.
Yes, I was wondering why Jesus didn't make women priests.
Great question, and it's been asked for 2,000 years, I think, and rightly so. I think that the short answer, and I mean, I teach a whole course on just that question, so I'm going to try to make this as brief as possible. I think that Jesus wanted and needed men to represent him sacramentally, that women were not going to represent him sacramentally. And by the way, there are a lot of men that are rejected for the priesthood. So it's not that any man can become a priest and no woman can become a priest. That's not true. There are very few men who are actually selected and chosen for the priesthood. So we want to be careful to say that it's just open to any man. It isn't. So without getting too much into the sacramental theology, to represent Christ in the Mass, in the sacrifice at Calvary, to do that sacramentally, he needed a man in order to do that. Women, boy, I'm going to get in trouble for this, aren't I, Si?
Well, the thing is, if you talk about this, it doesn't matter what you say, you are going to get in trouble with
right.
some people.
But
as you said, it's a very fair question, and we can do our best to try to answer it. But I invite you to, are you trying to hold your...
Well, I'm just trying to think about, you know, there's so many points to this. I mean, it's sometimes easier to approach and thinking about what are the reasons that people offer for ordination? You know, they'll say a woman could be a priest absolutely as much as a man could. She can teach, she can preach, she can pastor, she can comfort, she can do all the things that a man can do. Well, that's to misunderstand the essential aspect of the priesthood, and that is to represent Christ sacramentally in the Mass. That is the essence of the priesthood, not teaching, not preaching. Can women teach? Absolutely they can. I'm a great teacher. I'm a fantastic teacher. Come take a class with me. I love teaching. But I cannot represent Christ sacramentally in the Mass. What's another reason? They say it was just based on the culture of the time. For example, Christ was just honoring the culture of the time. We're no longer in that culture. We don't have to honor that culture anymore. It was just Jewish patriarchy. But in fact, Christ was countercultural in many ways. He did a lot of countercultural things.
They actually killed him for
washing
that.
Right.
Like,
exactly.
If you think he wasn't countercultural, why'd they kill him?
Right. And it's like, so if he would be countercultural on this point and this point and this point, why would he have forgotten that one? Yeah. In other words, what he didn't do can lead us to a deeper understanding, to pay attention to it that way. But there are excellent books, very readable, really logical. I'm thinking of Sister Butler's book on women in the priesthood, just exceptional. She's also doing work now on women in the diaconate. Also very, very clear, biblically grounded. And she actually began that book sort of thinking, I wonder if the church is wrong about this. And she had an intellectual conversion once she started doing the work on it. So I hope that begins to answer it a little bit. And that's not to say that women don't have equally important roles. You can't have a body without a heart, you know, and a brain and a liver, and you know, we need all of the different parts that are functioning. And I think women are really at the heart of the church in a way that if we don't have them in the church and flourishing as women, the church will die. She'll die without us. Yeah,
Mary, thank you very, very much for that question. We're talking about women in the New Testament with Liz Kelly. You can find her at lizk.org. We'll be right back with more of your calls for Liz Kelly right after this.
This is Archbishop Paul Coakley, the Archdiocese of Oklahoma City, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Do you want to end abortion? Halt the attack on traditional marriage? And ensure religious freedom for ourselves and for our grandchildren? To do this, we must convert the culture. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a grassroots initiative that recognizes this need and takes it to the streets. If you're interested in peacefully sharing the gospel in your area, visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
Why do we need Catholic radio? Because not everybody's sitting in front of a computer or watching their television set at home. How about when driving to work? Catholic radio's there for you. I may be a Catholic priest, but I'm still a student of the faith. And Catholic radio helps supply good material, whether it be a question and answer format show, whether it be a show itself on doctrine or theology. I myself, as a priest, am always learning.
Father Wade thinks Catholic radio is important. So should you.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Women in the New Testament is our topic this hour. 888-318-7884 is our number. If you'd like to talk about women in the New Testament, you are welcome to call. 888-318-7884. Liz Kelly is our guest. Her book, Jesus Approaches, What Contemporary Women Can Learn About Healing, Freedom, and Joy from the Women in the New Testament. And we go now to Barbara in Sugarland.
Can we just address John's comment first, just because it's related to the last question?
Yes, is John.
Okay?
You mean John on the
on Sirius XM?
Okay, all right. So Barbara in Sugarland, Texas. Hang on a second, because I didn't notice this, that John has basically the same concern we were just talking about. John is in Canada, listening on channel 130, which is EWTN on Sirius XM satellite radio. John, your question for Liz.
Hello.
Hi, John.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, John. You have a question for Liz?
Actually, it wasn't more a question. It was more something that I wanted to share with you that was shared with me by one of my brother seminarians over a year ago. And it was with regards to the priesthood. And my brother seminarian, he said, and I never thought about this myself, but he said, you know, if Christ had intended or wanted women to be priests, who else would he have chosen but his own mother? Because she was the perfect Amen. Disciple, and no one would have been a better priest, aside from Christ, of course, than Mary.
Yeah, and the guys he got weren't that good, at least at first.
Well, that's another one in that list of sort of seven rebuttals that I teach in my class. But Jesus had exceptional women to choose from. His mother being one, but also all the women that he healed and converted. I mean, these were extraordinary women. He had subpar women to choose from. So that's again part of the larger argument that he's up to something very special when he does not choose his mother to become a priest. Thanks for the reminder of that. Great. Great point.
John, thank you very, very much. And are you still in the seminary, John?
I'm not, no.
Oh, okay. So you discerned another direction.
It was basically like what Liz said a moment ago, is that not all men are chosen to be priests. And that's basically what happened to me. So.
Fair enough, John. Well, thank you very, very much for the call. A lot of times guys that are no longer in seminary, they say it with kind of a sad, like, we're going to be disappointed in them or something. We're not. We're very proud of you, John. And very very happy that you gave it a try. Barbara in Sugarland, Texas is up next. Barbara, I'm sorry that I started and then stopped, but I'm happy to have you here. Your question for Liz Kelly.
Gonna listen to all those Canadians first.
That's right. The Canadians are calling like crazy today. You're right.
I know. That's just nuts. My father was a Canadian, so anyway, whatever. I have one quick comment first, and then I'll ask my question. I think one of the problems today, and I think we all know this, is women and society today needs to give men the dignity they deserve in our society. And we haven't been doing that since the 60s, and so, you know, this is what we have. My question to you, Liz, and I can't wait to go on your website and also get one or two of your books. Have you written about women in the Old Testament? Because they're very interesting also, obviously, as you know.
Yeah. You actually can't really write about women in the New Testament without making some references to women in the Old Testament. And there's a discussion of Esther, for example, in my Jesus Approaches book, and a way of her how she was queen teaches us something about how we should reign in the kingdoms that God has given us to reign over and as queen, and to share in Mary's queenship in our own homes and in our own vocations. So I do a little bit of that, and I'm crazy about the prophets, and I'm doing a lot of study on them right now, and I'm hoping to develop some more materials on pieces in the Old Testament. And there are some really good books on women in the Old Testament. I can't think of any other ones, but I haven't done as much as I would like. Thanks for the question, though.
I'm sure you will. Thanks so much. I'll go on your website and get a book or two. Thanks so much.
Oh, thank you. God bless you. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Barbara. Liz, one of the things that I note when you talk about these things, you've said it several times this hour, and it's in the title of your book, is this idea of healing. Is it your sense that we modern people, and maybe in particular modern women, need to be exposed to the healing side? I mean, you even referred to Jesus as the doctor. I forget how you said it, but...
divine physician.
Divine
sure.
physician, yeah. So is that your sense now, that we're in particular need of that healing?
Yeah, I do. And I would say, too, that I think that there's a kind of spiritual wound in the world that really can only be healed by an encounter with God's living word. And certainly through the sacraments. I mean, the sacraments are healing. But I think that there's a particular kind of wound in us right now, maybe because we've ignored scripture, we've been intimidated by it. And we need that encounter. We need that encounter with God's living word. It is living. It is active. It is speaking to us in our lives right now. And I do think that, I mean, men have wounds too. Barbara pointed this out, you know, the world's kind of topsy-turvy, and it's not like men are getting a great deal out of all of this stuff either. There's a lot of many great difficulties for to be a man in this culture as well. It's just as confusing. But I do think too that women, you know, there are certain strains of feminism, and I'm going to get in trouble for using that word too, but there are certain strains of feminism which argued falsely, errantly, that women needed to become more like men. Yeah. And that is inherently wrong. You need to become who God created you to be. And I think that has done a lot of damage to women. I think women have a lot of wounds because they've been trying to be something that they're not. They feel guilty for being who they are, which is absolutely useless and something to be taken into prayer, to have exercised from your heart. So I'm hoping that the book does some to restore that sense of a dignified kind of femininity, but not just dignified, courageous, brave, strong, intelligent, you know, that we have some extraordinary women. You know, if there were church fathers, there certainly were church mothers too. We just don't refer to them in the same way. But, you know, we have the doctors of the church, and we stand on their shoulders, and we can learn a lot about what it means to be men and women from them. I don't know. Does that answer your question?
It does. It gives me a sense that when Jesus comes into the world to restore people to their dignity. And as you said, like I'm thinking about Mary Magdalene every time you talk, but I'm sure there are many other examples, but just this idea of restoring us to our dignity, freeing us from the things that we're trapped in, and mm-hmm. setting us on our feet as ourselves again. Mm-hmm. And that mm-hmm. it strikes me that kind of what you're talking about is, as the world seems to be de-Christianizing in many ways, mm-hmm. even the churches seem mm-hmm. to be de-Christianizing, then we fall back. We lose the dignity. We're not on our feet anymore. We're back into slavery to things and to confusion. The very stuff that Jesus dragged us out of.
Exactly. And again, that's all confusing us about our identity. The devil loves that. He loves to get us to believe a lie about who we really are. I think a lot of the tremendous confusion about gender issues and all of that, the devil just relishes anything that leads to confusion about who I am, what I've been created for, and who created me. So we have to fight against that.
Indeed, we do. Liz Kelly has been our guest. I want to give you the name of the book again, because you're going to want to get it. The book is Jesus Approaches, What Contemporary Women Can Learn About Healing, Freedom, and Joy from the Women of the New Testament. We didn't even get to joy. So you yeah. have to come back now.
Not a problem.
Your dog Anytime. Clearly has it. Thanks.
Yeah, something.
Thanks, Liz. You can find Liz Kelly, by the way, and at lizk.org, all kinds of stuff that you can connect with there, lizk.org. Tomorrow, we invite you for 2 hours of open forum. Any question at all about the Catholic faith is welcome, whether you are Catholic or not. And don't forget, Jesus Christ is the light of the nations. And we'll see you next time, God willing, on Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tours Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.